And so tonight is my great pleasure to introduce Michael. Go ahead. Thanks, Michael.
Hey everybody, Michael E. Addict, and I'm pleased to be asked to do this. I'm going to go back and start in December 2015. That's almost 9.5 years ago, 9 and 3 months, and that's when I decided to get clean, and that's when I did get clean, and I have been clean for 9 months and a little over three nine. Years and a little over 3 months. So in December 2015, I'd been abusing for quite a while. I was a highly functional addict. I kept my job, which is a pretty high level job. I have quite a bit of education. But when I got home from work, usually in the mid to late afternoon, I started using and kept using until about 2 a.m. until I passed out. Looking back, in my life, I realized that I was a binge drinker since I was about 14 years old. The thousand is never enough stuff. And later on, other drugs, not into the really hardcore, but weed, pills, those kinds of things. In 2015, I kind of knew I had a problem, but I didn't want to stop. I mean, I love to get high. The most important thing is it stopped my friggin' mind from going round and round and round. It stopped that internal dialogue, or at least what it did is it put it in a box of cotton so I didn't hear it very much. I love the euphoria too. I just like getting high. And some of the rituals even. I like drinking. I like, wine and the taste and all that. I liked scotch and those things. But I also loved the smell of weed and preparing weed and things. Pills, it wasn't really the rituals, but the other thing is I knew about 12-step programs. I'd gone to Al-Anon meetings to help to cope and deal with my son who had a problem, and actually did get sober, and that was very encouraging. But I never thought that I had a problem. But by 2015, I was using more and more and every day, and I was getting more and more distant from my wife. I've been married for many years, and we're very close. She's my best friend, and I love her very much. And she drank some, but not excessively, although if there's time, I might give a little more insight on that. But I became distant because when I got high, I loved to get high alone. I liked it that way, to zone out, listen to some music, and just chill. But that's not very good for a relationship. And I knew my relationship was in trouble, but I just wasn't ready to quit. And again, I knew I was using more and more. Now, at the end of 2015, I retired from my job, and we were heading to Florida, which is where I am right now. We live down here most of the year. I knew we were going to spend at least 3 months here. And so, in my paranoid and drug-focused state, I had amassed huge quantities of stuff to bring with me so I wouldn't run out. I had, it was never enough. And I kept putting it together, and I would put it in vacuum-sealed bags and things so I could bring it on a plane. So I thought I had done it before, but never with the quantity I had. I mean, I probably had $25,000, $30,000 worth of stuff, and we were getting ready to go. I was obsessed by it. And the evening of the 29th of December, along with getting ready, I consumed some very heavy duty drugs, and I got higher than I've ever been in my life. I was hallucinating, and I got very paranoid. I started sweating, and different things. And then I broke down. And I started crying, and I was downstairs. I came upstairs to my wife and I said, I'm in a bad way. And, but also something clicked in my head, said, you got to stop this. You're going to kill yourself. And so I said to her in tears that I'm going to quit. I'm done. And of course she didn't believe me. And frankly, later I talked to a therapist and about a week later, and she didn't believe I was going to quit either, but I haven't used since. And the next morning on December 30th, I threw away all that stuff that I had accumulated. and I vowed never to use again. We took that plane. It was a lot easier to get on the plane without a whole bunch of drugs with me. And we went to New York, and then we drove south to Florida. That's because we had a car on the East Coast. And I was going through withdrawal. I had sweats and chills. I was sick to my stomach. I couldn't eat, and I was ravenous. And that went on for over a week, but I hung in there. Now, that was before Zoom and stuff, and I didn't know anything about 12-step programs in terms of how I could connect. So I found some telephone meetings that I would get onto at night. And also there were some chat rooms for anonymous type meetings. And that kind of got me through until I got to Florida. And when I went to Florida, I immediately looked up AA. I didn't know anything about NA or any other fellowship. So I went to a few LA AA meetings. And they were okay, but I felt out of step, out of touch. And I thought about it in preparing for this. And there were three reasons. One, I was an addict and not just an alcoholic, and they were focusing on alcoholics. And I was an alcoholic too, I then realized, but that wasn't my biggest problem. Secondly, it felt like I was in a secret sect, you know, almost a cult. And I didn't know the secret handshake and stuff. And they really made me feel like I was an outsider. And you know, they were nice enough. They shook my hand and whatever. And of course, then there was lots and lots and lots of the God stuff and the higher power, including the Lord's Prayer at the end of the meeting, where everybody hold hands and said the Lord's Prayer. Well, frankly, I was brought up Jewish. I don't even know the Lord's Prayer. I mean, I know kind of the Valley of Death and all that, I guess, but I don't know. And I couldn't say it, but it really bothered me that here I'm coming here to a program to get free from, let's just say, alcohol there, and that was it. So the next day I went to two of those, came back to the same one a couple of times, but so I called the hotline because I was really starting to get a little squirrely, and they told me about this NA thing. And I said, well, narcotics, I don't really use narcotics. I use other drugs. They said, give it a try. They're a pretty good group. And they told me where it was. Now, you know, almost all the NA meetings are at churches and stuff. But it's funny, the one they directed to me was actually at a hospital off the cafeteria in a room. And so I went that night. It was a Sunday night. I walk in the room, and you know, there may be 12, 14 people there, but and I was early. So everybody got up and gave me hugs immediately, said I was in the right place and thanked so much for coming. You know, there was Patrick and Rick, Tom. These are people I know to this day. Patrick sat down with me, gave me a pamphlet. He circled the meetings. He said, these are the really good meetings. I can tell you would like those. And so I went to the meeting. I sat at the meeting. I shared. There was a little, you know, of the God stuff, but at this point, you know, I was feeling really pretty comfortable. They recommended the 90-90. So I did that and I started going to meetings, and I went to all kinds of meetings in all kinds of different places, and some pretty sketchy places in, you know, ghetto-like areas and stuff. But that what I found was, as soon as you walked in that room, it was like this warm, fuzzy sanctuary, and everybody was amazing. And I became comfortable with and friends with people I never thought that I would be. People who spent 20 years in jail, you know, people that were hard drug users that had AIDS, people that were homeless. And it was an eye-opener. It was great. And it worked. It worked for me. You know, at first, I didn't give a shit about the steps. I didn't care about, you know, the readings that much or anything. I just needed to not use. And that's what they emphasize. You know, don't get hung up on all the stuff. So you don't have to do that, but you need to not use. And if you feel like using, here's a list of phone numbers. They gave me phone numbers. One guy became kind of my co clean person, because the two of us kind of came in together. I got a sponsor and I began to build a support system so that when, not if, but when I felt like using, and again, I still love taking drugs, I had something to turn to. And to me, that was the program. And I did that for 3 months. The first month, I just, the withdrawal stuff stopped, and that was great. And I felt comfortable, and I began to enjoy the meetings. And I wrote all over the blue book. I wrote over all over every handout, crossed off God on everything and whatever. But I didn't share that with anybody. I just didn't feel comfortable and whatever. But by the second month, I found that I was starting to change, a bit. I wasn't looking for peace. I was just looking not to use drugs. And one of the reasons we moved to Florida was my mom lived down here at the time. My mom died at, oh, about 5 years later, but she was in, approaching 90. But we had a very difficult relationship. My mom was mentally ill, and one therapist said I was mentally abused, not physically, but the serenity statement, stop trying to change the things that you can't, to paraphrase, And I began to forgive my mom and to kind of laugh at her. Here I was still trying to change her. She's in her 90s, right? And I'm trying to change her behavior. And that became wonderful because when she died, a number of years later, we died friends, and we died where I had, I wasn't angry at her all the time. And that was great. And to me, that's what the NA program is about. You don't have to come in looking to make some great changes. You just come in looking to not use. And the people in NA are going to help you to do that. And the simplest support system is just keep coming back. You get squirrely, go to a meeting, call somebody, talk to a sponsor, even set up a therapist, whatever. Now, I do want to talk, and I still got a little time, about religion and the God thing. So I attended these meetings, and as I said, I translated myself, and I did a thing, and the higher power aspect, but I didn't feel comfortable about it. And I got to back to Seattle after about 4 or 6 months, and it's there that things started to change. I went to some meetings. I found a really good meeting up at Lakeside Milam. Those of you guys live in Seattle, it's up in the top of Edmonds and the Shoreline area on Ballinger Way. And I met Todd and Steve and Bob Ann and a bunch of other people and Kurt. And they kind of talked like I did. I mean, they were really dismissive of the God stuff openly at a meeting. And that was such a revelation and a relief that we could talk about it. And then Todd and Steve invited me to a session with some AA secular people down in the Ballard area. And we started like a study group on that. And then over the course of the next year or two, we kind of took over that Monday meeting at Lakeside and turned it into a secular meeting. And that became Beyond Belief Seattle. And that was great. And Todd was the trusted servant. He was wonderful. And we did okay. We only had about, I don't know, 8 to 12 people show up, maybe 15 sometimes. But it was really good. And we were very welcoming to people that did believe. But this was in particular, we didn't do a lot of the heavy God readings. And then COVID hit around 2020. And I helped them to go online in Zoom. I had a Zoom account. And we started meeting online. And then we reached out. And lo and behold, we met these people around the world, these people in Australia, this guy, Anthony B in Melbourne, and Ken and Elvis and Rose and all kinds of other people. And it was, oh my gosh, it was amazing. It was great. We had people from Canada, and we had people in Brazil and whatever. And it was, I really, we've it was nice to know that they weren't just tens and twenties of us, but there were dozens of us who turned into hundreds of secular people. And, if I believed in God, I would say that the secular NA was a godsend, but we'll say, it was Zeus or Odin sent me to secular NA. And then I met Ken, of course, through that too. And Ken, it turned out, had registered secularna.org as a domain, but it hadn't done much with it. And we talked and we wound up setting up the website. I had a few skills in that, not and I became involved with service. And then Anthony pushed and said, Michael, there's a void on Saturday nights, Sunday Australian time, and we really should start another meeting. And we started Beyond Belief International, which takes place on Saturdays to this day. And I think Betty is the trusted servant in that one. And it's been that way ever since. I make some service contributions. I'm clean. I start to stray a little. I still have urges. I mean, I'm an old dog, right? And as I kind of see the end, I say, well, what difference would it make if I started using again? I'm going to die anyway. But then I think about my relationships and I think about all the good and all the people. And I don't, but I need to come to a meeting to get back and centered. And I do at least one meeting a week, sometimes two or three. And it's been amazing and wonderful. And my co-meeting guy, Tom, here in Florida, who is very religious. He and I bond, we get together, and I go to a few meetings in person here, not that many. And of course, I'm very involved with the secular NA online community. And I love coming to the various meetings. I love the creative share that Maggie runs. I cried with Chris and others when Rose died, but also celebrated her. There's Dennis in New Orleans, And just a couple of things in the few minutes I have left. One, for those of you who are relatively new to the program or just coming in, keep it simple. Just focus on not using for now. There's time. I've done the steps a couple of times. They've helped. I even helped to write one of the steps guides for secular people, but you don't have to get hung up on that. Build yourself a support system, a checklist, a list that you can go down if you get the urge and you need to talk to somebody. Make a call a hotline, line up a therapist. Of course, go to a meeting. That's your clean buddy. That's who Tom is. Tom's my clean buddy. And then lastly, I just want to talk a little about my grandson. Some of you know about my grandson. My grandson really got heavily hooked on fentanyl, and we thought we were going to lose him. And he's 22 now. He's with us. He had gone to recovery once. He'd gone to rehab, and it didn't take when he was a little younger. And I came back to Seattle and helped him to make the decision to go to rehab. And his clean day is March 11th, and I think it'll be 2 years on March 11th. It could be 3 years, but. And Logan is just about finished with his firefighter training program. And maybe that's what it was all for, right? That I got clean so I could help Logan. And he's clean today, because that's really the most important thing. So that's all I got. I thank everybody for being part of Secular NA. Thanks for listening. Thanks for inviting me. I'm Michael, and I'm an addict. And I'm clean today.